Praise the Lord for you, Brother Cook. Thank you very much. This time next week, we're going to get to hear Brother Dylan and Brother Caleb preach. Youth-led service next Sunday night. Please be here. Support your young men. Support the future preachers. Support the youth. It's going to be a completely youth-led service. The youth department will be taking care of all the music. I'm not sure about Riley's song. That might be an... I think, who's playing for you? Is Miss Roberta playing for you, Riley? She doesn't know. We'll make a cappella. Now, I believe that we're going to take care of it. Miss Roberta may be playing that one, but other than that, the youth are going to take care of the entire service. I am really looking forward to it. I sure hope that you are. So be here. Colossians chapter 2 tonight. Colossians chapter 2. I'm looking forward to what Brother Cook was singing about. I'm looking forward to heaven. I really am. the longer I'm here, the sweeter it looks. Amen. I know our teens, you know, they're really not ready to go. I mean, they're prepared maybe in their heart. They're saved. But, you know, I wasn't married when I got saved, and I soon learned about the soon coming of Christ, but I wanted to get married first. I did. I remember saying that, Lord, can I just get married first? And I wanted to experience some things, and I know they do too, but I'll tell you what, honey, not that I've been married long enough, but I'm ready to go. Amen. I mean, I'm ready. I'm just ready. If the Lord come back today, it wouldn't be too quick for me. Would not be too soon for me. Somebody else can have my mortgage. Amen. I'm going to look for those bells we keep singing about. Amen. Colossians chapter 2. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Getting a good start is so important to a good finish. I have heard somebody quote, I wrote it down, well begun is half done. And most of us start well, don't we? Gangbusters. Hit the ground running. You just feel free to twist his ear if you want to, mama. I'm teasing. All right. Well begun is half done. Many times, however, we get a good start, but sometimes we can't seem to keep the wind in our sails. I mean, it happens to all of us. It happens to all of us. We get a good start, and somewhere down the line something will happen, and the wind will get knocked out of our sails, and sometimes we're just sitting there floating on the sea of life, many times tossed about by the waves of life, crash into the rocks many times, and thank God for an anchor, though, amen? But you know, I want to finish well. I want to finish well. I don't want to just start well. I want to finish well. Now, when I first got saved, I just didn't have much sense. I had a whole lot of zeal, not much knowledge, and not much sense. And I just thought I'd tell everybody about Jesus. And it cost me my job, so that's what I said. Not a lot of sense sometimes, but a lot of zeal. And I'm afraid that many times, as we try to balance that out with zeal and sense, knowledge and zeal, then we end up getting too much knowledge and we lose our zeal. And then we end up just kind of floating in the water, and we start well, but I want to finish well too. Amen? And I think that not only preachers are to go down swinging. I think everybody ought to go down swinging. If we're a child of God, brother, we're all in the fight. And you're either ringside or you're in the ring. But we're all there. We're all in it. We're all part of it. I don't want to be like I heard the other day. I heard a preacher say that most Christians are like passengers on a bus. They're just there for the ride, kind of enjoying the view, leaving everything to the driver. I don't want to be like that. Amen? Say amen right there. I don't want to be like that. I want to get in the game. Amen? These guys, they play football. I guarantee you, they enjoy suiting up. But they enjoy suiting up to play, to get involved in the game. Nobody likes sitting on the sidelines the whole game. Speaking of football, Vince Lombardi, that famous football coaching legend of the 50s and the 60s, he led the Green Bay Packers to 5 NFL championships in only 9 seasons. And when Lombardi came to Green Bay, the team had only won 1 out of 12 games. His first year there, they won 7 out of 12. And the following year, he led them to the NFL championships where they were beaten by Philadelphia Eagles. Lombardi then led his Packers to the first two Super Bowls they ever played, to win the first two Super Bowls they ever played. Now, Vince Lombardi is a legend, and what made Vince Lombardi such a great coach, winning 75% of the games that he played? What made the Packers such a winning team? It was Vince Lombardi at the end of a winning season, or at the end of any season, really. He would gather that championship team, those guys who'd played their heart out all year long, and he'd gather them around, he'd hold up a football, and he'd say, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And he'd say, "Today, we're going to learn how to throw the football. Today, we're going to learn how to catch the football. We're talking about the champions." He would look at them in training, and he would say, "Today, we're going to learn how to block." You know what he did, right? He was going back to the fundamentals. He never forgot the fundamentals. He never got away from the basics. And that's what made Vince Lombardi such a tremendous coach. He focused on the basics and sharpened the skills that brought them to that place. And there's a principle found in the Word of God that deals with finishing like you started. And it's not like the old Chinese proverb that says, "Never change horses in the midstream." We don't want to change horses midstream. We don't have to change what we're doing. We don't have to change methods. We don't have to get we don't have to go down here to Fellowship of the Parks and figure out how they're doing it. We don't have to go to some mega church over here and figure out how they're doing it and copy it. We don't have to do that. That's not what the Word of God says. I do not want to be addressed as Paul addressed those Galatian Christians when he said, "You did run well. What happened? What hindered you? You did run." I don't want that to be said of me. When it's all said and done, I don't want the Lord to look at me and say, "Boy, you started out good. What happened?" I don't want to be a good starter only, but I want to finish well. So let me share with you what I believe to be a principle to help us keep the wind in our sails. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Look with me in one verse, verse 6. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. The Bible says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." And let's pray. Father, again, we just ask Your blessings upon this portion of the service. Your Word being preached, Father, please, I pray that You'd help us to make the sense of it and to speak with clarity of thought, clarity of mind, clarity of speech. Lord, may Your will be done. Speak to our hearts. May we go out of here encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. "As we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." Now, I believe ultimately he's talking about right here, you receive Christ by faith, now walk in faith. The just shall live by faith. But I believe it goes a whole lot deeper than that too. Obviously, we know that we're to be people of faith. And boy, I'll tell you what, if we stopped right there and just majored on that, we could have revival if we'd all just determine that we're from now on going to be people who walk and live by faith. Amen. But I want you to look at this with me. I want to kind of tear this verse apart just a little bit. He says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." And so let me just say, I think I recognize everybody in here tonight, but the only one I know who really is saved is me. And so I'm not going to take for granted everybody in here is saved. So let me just say this. Receiving Christ is not an evolutionary process. God's gift to humanity must be received. It's a hard thing to try to live this Christian life in the power of the flesh, gentlemen and ladies and gentlemen. It's hard. You can only do it for so long, and you're going to be dead in the water every time after just a little while. I'm telling you, if you're not saved, the first place to get rid of this miserable state that you're in is to get saved, because I can't imagine trying to live the Christian life in the power of the flesh. I mean, as an unsaved person, I could not imagine trying to do all the religiosity that you have to go through to try to fool everybody that you're saved. John 1, verse 11 and 12 says, "He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." We get saved, we've got the power to live for Christ. We've got the power. We've got everything that we need already within us to live a victorious, joyful, sails up and going down the road kind of life. Amen? Now look at it. It says received as opposed to earned and as opposed to purchased. Now, even if a person under the sound of my voice tonight who've been coming to church for a long time, you know that we don't believe that you can purchase salvation or earn salvation. But yet, there are some in Baptist, independent fundamental Baptist churches who live that way and they've yet to receive Christ. They think that, well, I'm just going to keep on going the way I'm going. I'm going to do, and eventually hey, even in independent fundamental Baptist churches, people who've been sitting there for years and years and years and years eventually come to the knowledge where they've never truly received Christ. And that is first and foremost, if we're gonna enjoy the Christian life, if we're gonna finish well, first you have to receive Jesus Christ. Have to receive Christ. Receive, now I want you to notice this. Received what? Received Christ. Received Christ. Not His teachings like so many other religious leaders. Not His creeds, not His philosophies. You take Muhammad away from Islam and you still have the creeds, you still have the philosophies, you still have the teachings, and you still have Islam, you still have the religion. You take Buddha away from Buddhism and you still have the philosophies, you still have the creeds, you still have the theology there, and you still have the religion. But if you take Jesus Christ away from Christianity, we have nothing. So it's not about receiving a set of teachings. It's not about receiving a creed. It's not about receiving a philosophy. It's about receiving Jesus Christ. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, and probably most everybody in here, when we received Christ as our Savior, that's exactly what we did. I didn't come to the altar and say, Lord, I receive Your teachings. I receive Your philosophy. I receive this creed. No, I said, I need You, Jesus. I need You, God. I received God. I received Christ. Now, isn't that, see, we're looking at me, you're looking at me like, preacher, that's fundamental. Absolutely, this is a football. This is a football. And it's the basics that we have to get back to from time to time to get the wind back in ourselves. He says, as you have received Christ, so walk in. So now that we have established a little bit, as you've received Christ, now, look at this. There's a threefold character in which they received Christ, and all of us, when we received Christ, we received Him in a threefold character. Now we got to stop and remember that. He's not called the Lord Jesus Christ for no reason. I love the song, and I know it's not Easter, but I absolutely love the song because it is one of the most doctrinal songs I know. Lo, in the grave He lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave He arose, with a mighty triumph o'er His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah. Christ arose. There's a reason why it is in that order. Lo, in the grave He lay, Jesus, my Lord, waiting the coming day. I'm telling you, there's a reason why it's in the order that it's in. It's a tremendous, tremendous song, and it's full of theology. We have received Jesus, first of all, as Christ. We received Him as Christ, as anointed and commissioned by God. We received Christ as from God. That's God's gift to us. We received Him as the anointed one, commissioned by God. We received Him as Savior. To redeem and to sanctify us, to redeem us, to bring us back to God. We were undone, lost, the bridge was burnt, no way to God, great chasm, hell was in our way. No way we could get to God on our own, but Jesus came and we received Jesus as our only means to God. We we were undone. No hope. No help. Helpless and hopeless. And we received Jesus Christ as a means to God, as our Redeemer, as our Advocate. I like what Spurgeon said. He said, "Let consecration crown conversion." We not only receive Christ as Savior to redeem us, but to sanctify us as well. To sanctify us, to set us apart for His purpose. For those of us who got saved maybe at a little bit later date, or for those of you who got saved young, you grow to learn this thing, and it ought to excite you once you grow to actually learn it. Once it breaks forth upon you, when you realize that God saved you for a purpose, for His purpose. I never will forget the day that dawned on me. I mean, it literally broke forth upon me. I mean, it was like somebody taking a veil off of my understanding. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was driving down the road. I was raised in public school just like y'all. Not in a Christian home. I'd swallowed evolution, hook, line, and sinker. I didn't have anything to compare it to. I know, in the school that I went to, they read Bible. They really did. They read Bible in English, read it in spelling, read it in reading. I remember that. But nobody preached it to us. I wasn't saved. And when I went into the other classes, they taught evolution just like it was, you know, this is the way it happened. Amen? And I remember after I got saved, I never heard a message on it. I didn't read it in the Bible anywhere. But I remember just like it was yesterday, driving down the road in my vehicle, working for Executone Telecommunications. I remember all of a sudden I was at a red light and it just broke forth. Literally. And I remember saying out loud, I'm the only one in the car, and I said, "Wow, wait a minute. Well, if I'm saved now, then that means I didn't come from a monkey." You know, doesn't that sound so elementary? But I'm telling you, I was an adult, and it never dawned on me. But then I realized that quick, I didn't come from a monkey. If Adam's the first man, I came from Adam, and all that other stuff's a lie. That means God saved me for a purpose. I have purpose in life now. I received Christ as not only my Savior, but my sanctifier. Not only my Redeemer, but my sanctifier. He set me apart for a purpose. Now look, Jeremiah the prophet, the Bible said that he saved him while he was still in the womb. He called him in the womb. But us, look, God called us when we were in the womb too. He may not have called you to be a preacher. He may not have called you for specific on-staff ministry, but He certainly called you for His own purpose. He called you to do a work for Him. There is something for you to do that will glorify God, and that ought to be our main goal. If we can just get our head and our hearts around the fundamentals of the fact that Jesus saved us. We knew it when we first got saved. He saved me not only to redeem me, but to sanctify me. God, here I am. Use me. Oh, thank the Lord I'm saved. Use me. We were so happy to be used by Him. And there was wind in our sails, man. We were cruising. We were coasting along the ocean. And then we received Him not only as Christ, not only as Savior, but as Lord, as boss, to reign and to rule over us. That's how we received Him. We received Christ as the Anointed One, commissioned by God. We received Him as the Savior to redeem me and to sanctify me. We received Him to be my ruler and to reign on the throne of my heart and to have Your way in my life. And God, when I get up, I want to be as the psalmist spoke. He said, as the heart panteth after the water brook, even so doth my soul long after Thee, O God. And that's how we received Christ. To be our all in all. To be preeminent every day. When we got saved, we couldn't talk about Him enough. We couldn't tell people enough. I mean, literally, it got me fired. It really did. I just couldn't help it. I just thought, you know, I just saw people as lost or saved. I saw them as on their way to hell or on their way to heaven, and I couldn't tell by looking at them which, so I need to find out. He says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Boy, there's the key right there. There's the fundamental. Today, we're going to learn how to block. Today, We're going to learn how to throw the football, Caleb. See, I'm talking to champions already. I'm talking to people who already know all this. But we need to get back to it. There are three things suggested by the word walk. And the first thing is this, continuance. A couple of words, three words. The first word is continuance. Abiding, walk in Him, abide in Him. Remain in Christ. Live every day of our life like a Christian. Doesn't that sound so elementary? I mean, I'm talking to people who have been saved 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and yet I'm saying, live every day of your life like a Christian. That ought to be just a given. But so many times it's not, because so many times we'll get up in the morning and we don't put on the armor of God and we don't meet with God and we go off into the battlefield, and the next thing we know, we're calling everybody around us morons because they don't drive like me. Amen. Say amen right there too. We're not walking in Him, I'll promise you. And so no wonder we have no wind in our sails when we don't walk in Him as we received Him. But if we get up in the morning and we say, Savior, Lord, my Christ, help me to walk in You as I received You, as my Redeemer, my only way to God. Thank You for getting me. Thank You for saving me, Lord. Now let me fulfill that purpose that You saved me for. You know what Paul said? He said, I haven't apprehended. He said, I've not arrived. He said, but man, I live to apprehend. I want to apprehend that thing for which I am apprehended. He said, God saved me for a purpose, and I'm going to do everything I can to grab hold of that purpose. He said, I'm not there yet, but forgetting the things which are behind me, I'm going to look forward to the things that are in front of me, and I'm going to reach toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. And that's what we have to do every single day. Live on purpose. Live on purpose. Get up and make a conscious decision that I'm going to walk in Christ as I have received Him. It suggests activity. The word walk suggests activity. Busying ourselves. Look, you can't walk and not be busy. I mean, I guess you could. You could. But it suggests activity. It suggests busyness. Busying ourselves for Christ. Even while busy with our secular work. You don't have to be a pastor to be busy with Christ. To be busy for Christ. You don't have to be an associate to be busy for Christ. You don't have to be a Bible college student. Amen? To be busy for Christ. All we have to do is be saved. Just be saved and be busy for Christ. Make God the goal. Amen? Make God the goal every day, and the issues of life will take care of themselves. So many things that we struggle with throughout the day that wouldn't be an issue if we would just get up in the morning and make God the goal. God, You got a purpose for me. You saved me for a reason, and I want to know what that reason is. I want to get right smack in the big middle of Your will today, and I promise you, if we'll approach every day with that attitude, then the issues of life will answer for themselves. A third word suggested by the word walk is progress. Progress. Advance. Not to grow, brethren, is unnatural. Not to grow is unnatural. It's unnatural. We're dead in the water. We need some wind in our sails. We have to grow in Christ all the time. But not to the point that we think we're, you know, so full of knowledge, because knowledge puffeth up. And if we're so full of knowledge that we're vain and empty and we think that, you know, those lowly, lost people are below me and I shouldn't have to witness to them, then we've missed the boat entirely. But not to grow is unnatural. We must continue to grow. I mean, I don't think there's anybody in here, you know, our esteemed Dr. Henderson included, who would stand up here and say, I've learned all there is to learn about Christ. I've arrived. Nobody. We need to continue to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Continue to grow. Progress. Walk ye in Him. Walk ye in Him, continue in Him, advance in Him, busy ourselves in Christ, grow in Christ, advance in Christ. Let us learn. Look, we ought to make some goals, some Bible reading goals for ourselves, and some knowledge goals for ourselves. And you ought to take a book of the Bible, and I'm not saying you have to put a time frame on it, but maybe take the book of Malachi and say, I don't have no idea what the book of Malachi is about. I really don't know, and I promise you, most Christians really don't know. And take the book of Malachi or whatever it is and say, I'm gonna master this book as much as I can. And go buy a commentary at your pastor's referral. And go get some books on Malachi and see what other great minds that God has spoken to about and that they have studied. And study the book of Malachi and learn what those Old Testament books are. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because I promise you, it's not about Malachi. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus Christ. You want a tremendous study? I mean, something that will just set your logs afire? Study the tabernacle and the temple. I love studying the tabernacle and the temple. Every piece of it speaks of Jesus Christ. Every little piece of it. It's an amazing, amazing study. If you want to grow in Christ, make some goals to learn about Christ. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Grow in grace as we have received Him. How did we receive Christ? When we received Him, how did we receive Him? First of all, we received Him stripped of self. We received Him humbly, lowly. We received Him full of confession. And we had no claim to His grace. Well, I don't know about you. Well, when I received Christ, I was a broken man. When I received Christ, I saw myself. It was an ugly picture. When I received Christ, I saw Him for who He was and I saw me for who I was. And it humbled me. And I couldn't say I'm sorry enough. God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. We received Him humbly. We received Him gratefully. We received Him gratefully for regarding our low estate. You know, after we got saved, we just kind of stepped back and say, what is man? Thou art mindful of him. You do it now? You ever step back on one of these dark, hazelit nights and just kind of look up into the stars and just consider yourself in the scheme of the vastness of the universe and realize that God actually cares about you? We received Him joyfully. Our first joy, it was a contagious state too, wasn't it? It was a contagious state. It set in when we woke up and it set down when we went to sleep. And I'm going to be the first to tell you that that's probably not my state. I'm a morning person. I love mornings. I'd whole lot rather spend early in the morning than stay up late at night. I'm not a late night person. I'm an early morning riser. But I don't know, I can't stand here and tell you that I have the same joy, I exuberate the same joy, that I actually spills over like it used to. I'm probably not as charismatic and as crazy as I used to be. You know, how many of us at one time in our lives, come on now, how many of us at one time in our lives, we wouldn't think twice about jumping out at a gas station and giving a tract to everybody there? Amen. You know, I used to actually look forward to sitting at a train, at a railroad crossing. I used to go to a railroad. I'm not kidding. I'm telling you the truth here with my hand up. I used to see a train track and see the gate coming down and say, praise the Lord. And I'd stop my car, get out, and start passing out tracks. They can't go nowhere. And I am serious about that. I had a brother, he's a missionary that we support. I never did this, but I always said I would, but I never did. But he took his car antenna, the old car antennas that you could pull out, and he taped a wooden clothespin to that antenna. And when he was at a red light, he would put a track on it. Brother Chris Karamichis, he would put a track on it, and he would roll his window down, and he would tap the car next to him, and he would hand them a track at a red light. I've been with him when he's done it. I'm telling you, this isn't hearsay. Do we still have that joy? I mean, I had to tell everybody. We received him joyfully. We received him effectually. We brought forth fruit in those early stages. Growth was evident. Growth was evident. Fruit was evident. Is it now? We received him unreservedly. We made no conditions upon him. No conditions. We didn't come down to the altar and we say, well, Lord, I'll serve you as long as you don't call me out of Texas. Don't know if I can live anywhere. They ain't never heard of okra. Amen. I moved up to the Northwest where they didn't know what iced tea was. Iced tea, when I first got there, it was hot tea and iced coffee. And I couldn't wait to get back to the place where it was hot coffee and iced tea. Amen. And now I actually like iced coffee. I was up there too long, brethren. Amen. Unreservedly. We received Christ unreservedly. There was a time in our lives, brother, we didn't put any conditions on God. Lord, I serve you no matter what, no matter where, no matter when. You just say go. But now we've grown comfortable in our comfort zone. We've got locked into that box and now we put God in our box and we say, now I'll serve you inside here. And don't you ask me to go anywhere else. Unreservedly. We received Christ confidently, not trusting to our own strength. Not trusting. We weren't afraid to get out on a limb. Received Him with faith, confidence. We weren't afraid to get out on a limb. We weren't afraid to go boldly where no man has... You were waiting for me to say that, weren't you? Where no man has gone because we knew He was going to go with us. We received Him confidently. I wonder tonight, can we say tonight that, well, I don't need to ask it. I know it's true. There are many of us. We need to get the wind back into our sails. I want to finish well. And since none of us know when our time is up, we all start now. Act like it might end tomorrow. And I do not want to be standing in front of the Lord and Him look at me and say, James, You started off great, man. You hit the ground running. Boy, I mean, you were gangbusters out the gate. But halfway down the road, you just quit. You slowed down. You slacked up. And then He's going to say, you did run well. What happened? I don't want that. I do not want that. I want to go down swinging. Amen. I want to serve the Lord till I die. I want to finish well. I don't want to just start well. I want to finish well. And if that's the case, then we've got to get back to the basics. As you have received Christ, walk in Him. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. We'll pray together. And hopefully if the Lord spoke to our hearts, let's go ahead and come to the altar and just respond and say, Lord, I want to finish well too. And help me, by Your strength, by Your grace, by Your power, to get back where I know I ought to be. Back to the place where I was once before. And let's determine tonight that we're going to allow God to work His purpose in us and in our life for His glory. Our Father, as we come before You tonight, we pray that You would take this simple message, Lord, and help us to apply it to our lives that You may be honored and glorified. And, Lord, that we'll live our life with joy and with the richness and fullness of Christ with His blessings and with Your blessings and Lord, that others may come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, I pray that You'd work in our hearts tonight by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, once again, Brother Tim, go ahead and sing through a verse. As the music plays, the invitation is